3, 2, 1. It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles. And welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show. We have a lot in store today, guys. It is your host, Smooth Oz. As usual, I'm here with
Dima Mixon.
Jackson Howell.
Oh, go ahead.
No, Charlie. And also, we can't forget our man in the corner, Nathan Lee.
And shout out to the producer in the back, too, Carter.
Carter, baby.
Yeah, so we have a special show for you guys. We have a special interview with head volleyball coach Jenny Hazelwood. And first and foremost, we would like to dedicate this show to a legendary coach that died this past week on Wednesday afternoon in the legendary Corky Palmer. We're going to have a small section and segment on him. So without further ado, guys, let's just talk some just favorite moments by Coach Corky. He led Southern Miss to their first ever College World Series in 2009. It was a special moment. And this was a hard week for Southern Miss athletics in the Southern Miss community. So without further ado, guys, take it away.
I would just like to say, you know, we were all really young when he was coach. So I wasn't personally watching baseball, but just hearing about him, like just in these past years, you know, being on campus, it's a name you hear. So to have that lasting impact just tells you what kind of person that is. And especially now hearing the community talk about him, I think it's just something, you know, Southern Miss can be grateful that he was a part of this community. And as we'll hear in our story that we did, people were glad that he came back because he played at Southern Miss too. And, you know, he came back to coach. And that's very special to have, you know, a player than a coach connection. He was truly somebody that, you know, loved Southern Miss, knew what it stood for. And he'll forever be remembered in Hattiesburg and Southern Miss community.
Mm-hmm. One thing for me, just covering Southern Miss baseball this season, every time, obviously this year for Southern Miss baseball was a great season.
Historic year.
It was an amazing season for Southern Miss baseball. And every time Scott Berry would be recognized for an achievement, such as passing Corky Palmer on the list of all-time wins, he would always go back and say, "That's great, but the reason I'm here is because of Coach Palmer." And it would be every single time you would try to, you know, compliment Scott Berry, he would always go back to, "Well, this is the man who made me who I am." You know, and I think that's just such a testament for somebody to be as successful as Scott Berry has, especially this last year, to still be humble enough to go back and say, "Corky's the guy. That's who we really need to be celebrating."
Yeah, I mean, he's just the epitome of a Hattiesburg guy, right? He grew up in Hattiesburg, played catcher at Hattiesburg High School, and then played catcher at Southern Miss, obviously. He was a coach there three different times, obviously being the head coach. And I just want to go through some of his accomplishments because, you know, everybody has such great stories of him. But look at this. He went 458 wins, 281 losses. That's a 62% win percentage. 8 NCAA tourney appearances, including 7 straight from 2003 until the year he retired. He won Conference USA Coach of the Year one time in 2003, and then obviously the lone College World Series appearance for Southern Miss. Just absolute legend, and it's a tough loss for the community.
And you know, you talk about like Southern Miss baseball's legacy, just I don't remember their winning streak, like with winning seasons, but it goes back to Corky Palmer's days, like. And even further behind
Beyond that,
just to continue that excellence. This team right now is Corky Palmer's tree. I mean, you know, Scott Berry was a part of his team. And I think Scott Berry, Coach Berry, was on Super Talk Mississippi this week talking about. And even I think he said that Corky Palmer was his matchmaker for his wife. You know, it went beyond the sport. You know, it was a connection that they had. And I really think that's, you know, something special. Even Coach Ladner, basketball coach, was talking about the days that they remember, you know, going to see the baseball team. And the baseball team has been great. It's been, you know, Southern Miss's, you know, top-tier sport for many years, decades. And it started kind of, you know, it started before, but Corky Palmer was a huge integral piece of that.
Yeah, just as the listeners are fixing to hear in a minute, just when we were talking to Jack Duggan, exactly what you were saying, you know, just like Southern Miss baseball wouldn't be where it is today if we wouldn't have gone through Hill Denson, then Corky Palmer, and then now Scott Berry. But it, but Corky Palmer was one of those people. And I remember I was talking to Glenn Dyer. He's GoldenEagle.com.
Yeah,
I think
24/7.
24/7 Sports. Yeah, yeah. And he was telling me just like every single room that Corky went into, the entire room would just brighten up. And it didn't matter, you know, who it was, where it was, where, I mean, it could have been in the bathroom. I don't know. But it was just, it was always just light, lit up room when Corky Palmer would enter into a room. And that to me just shows the character of him. And he was truly, and Jack said, he said he was the Pine Belt.
He did. He said he was the Pine Belt. He said he was Hattiesburg. And Corky Palmer is what you think of when you think of Southern Miss. Guys, he didn't establish the program, but he elevated the program to higher standards. Like, Jackson, you stated, 7 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, and we consistently see those appearances now with Scott Berry. He's nurtured guys and brought them up with Scott Berry and numerous other guys, and we know the famous baseball players like Brian Dozier that played on his teams, and we can go on and on about all those special athletes. But Corky, like you said, is Hattiesburg. He is Southern Miss. And another thing, just to bring to that point, Coach Hall said that we interviewed him, and you asked a phenomenal question, Dima, just speaking on Corky Palmer's legacy, and he specifically said that Corky was a winner, mm-hmm. and that it was not one guy that hated Corky. He was, you hear the Nick Sabans of the universe, yep. and guys that can't stand Nick Saban, but he was a winner, and not just a winner, he was loved, especially. That was something huge that was said. And, it's just a tough time, So.
Yeah, and we were talking about just kind of, before the show started, what Southern Miss should do to, really show their appreciation. I know y'all mentioned, what were some of the things you mentioned? It's 44 on the baseball field.
Yeah, I definitely think they could put a patch on the field, hats, everything. Just with where Southern Miss baseball is right now, too, they brought out Corky Palmer, I forgot what game, but pretty recently, mm-hmm. So he was still, involved in Southern Miss baseball. So paying, respect to him, I think, is necessary, even naming a street after him or something. We would love to see that.
We would love to see it. So,
And just to point out one more thing, in 2009, when they did make that College World Series, I remember reading back on it this week, everybody was just so frustrated that Southern Miss had made it in. It was kind of like Ole Miss this year, it was kind of like a last minute, they were on the bubble and they got in, and then they went to the World Series. And I was reading a story on ESPN that I don't remember exactly the writer, but it was like, why not this guy? Why not Corky Palmer? Why can't it be him? Because he's just such an influential person. He's such an amazing person. And he's gotten them this far. They didn't go on to win the national title, obviously, but it was just why not him? This guy has achieved so much, and why couldn't, it was almost one of the greatest ways to go out. And then he's, like you said, Charlie, fulfilled that legacy still to this day. And just going to be a person everybody's really going to miss.
Truly. And without further ado, we would like to play a special rap just to honor Corky's legacy. Play the clip, Corky. The Hattiesburg community laid rest to Southern Miss baseball head coach legend, Carlton Corky Palmer. Jack Duggan, SID of Southern Miss Athletics, shared the following about Corky's legacy.
Palmer was Southern Miss baseball. The heights that he took Southern Miss baseball to is the reason why we are where we are now. He's a tremendous loss for the baseball program, for this university, for this community. Larger than life figure, he brightened every room that he went into, and he is somebody that I got to be honest that I am truly going to miss. And when I found out, it truly was a sad day.
Corky, a Hattiesburg native, known for his Southern twang and funny charisma, was one of a kind, touching the hearts of many far and wide.
We were playing at Southeastern Louisiana. We were actually playing at Dim Springs. It was a neutral site game. I was a freshman. I didn't know any better. I was 18 years old. We were about, month number 3 in the season. And, at that point, you're on the road. You get a little goofy. Well, during batting practice, I dove for a baseball, and he screamed at me, and he goes – he said, "Hack," which was my nickname when I was in college, and he said, "Hack, I'm not going to wash your uniform for the rest of the year. And I had this grass stain on my gray uniform for the rest of the year. And sure enough, he didn't wash it for the rest of the year. So, but that was Coach Palmer. He was phenomenal.
Corky had a knack for coaching, partly due to his pops, of course. But success was his mantra, as winning followed him from the high school ranks to the collegiate level. Will Hall, head football coach of USM, shared the following.
Corky had the unique ability to be a great winner, and everybody loved him. And that's a unique ability that very few people that have walked this earth have had, and I've got the utmost respect for him and hurting for him and his family. And, man, I just thank the world of him.
In his final season in 2009, after a not-so-good start to the year, Palmer announced retirement in April of that year, but had yet to see the ride the Golden Eagles would take him on, leading the program to his first and only trip to the College World Series.
I don't know, man. I'm just happy. These kids work so hard. They never gave in tonight. It looked tough for a while. It never gave in. Just great accomplishment for our baseball program.
Tim Floyd, former NBA basketball head coach and a close friend of Corky's, quoted by Mississippi Today's author Rick Cleveland, said, "Corky lived his dream, and he lived it in his hometown, doing what he loved. What's more, he touched countless people while doing it." Think about it. How many people can say that? That was our honorable segment and rap, made by Charlie, actually. I just voiced it. That was our honorable rap on Corky and his legendary career. And we'll head into break, but before we do, I would like to preview our interview with the head volleyball coach, Jenny Hazelwood. And but before we do, we're going to play a slight interview of Corky after they won the Super Regional against Florida in 2009 to head to the College World Series.
Can you believe it?
I don't know, man. I'm just happy. These kids work so hard. They never gave in tonight. It looked tough for a while. It never gave in. Just great accomplishment for our baseball program.
Have you ever been to Nebraska?
I went in 2005, and I told Mike Ventura I'd never come back unless I brought a team. So I'm going back.
This is the 4th Street Sports Show on Southern Miss Radio. And welcome back to 4th Street Sports. We're back with a special interview. We have head volleyball coach Jenny Hazelwood. But before I introduce you guys, I have to just list off her accolades a little bit. So, Coach Hazelwood is no stranger to volleyball, of course, guys. She has 15 years of experience at the collegiate level, including Centenary College, Mississippi College, Austin Peay, and Mississippi State. She's also served as an analyst for ESPN and SEC Network, as well as an assistant coach with the USA Volleyball Junior National Program, and founding the Infinity Volleyball Academy. And two, Infinity and Beyond. I just had to stick that.
Yeah, we could go on and on, but yes. Thanks for coming on the show, Coach. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Mm-hmm. And just to tell the viewers, y'all just got back from Destin. Y'all have been busy with the season coming up. But
absolutely. Yeah, we started our preseason practices on August 9th, and then we did our team retreat where we went to Destin. We did practice, so it wasn't all fun. And then we did some competitions on the beach, so it was fun to see them kind of get after it, and some relays and some fun things on the beach. And then some team bonding stuff, and we had the best time. And so, yeah, we just got back today.
And we listed what you've done throughout your career, but it's been quite a break since you last coached. You know, what made you come back to coach, and what led you to that decision?
Yeah, and I've coached clubs. So we started a club when I got done coaching in college and started working for ESPN. We started a club because our daughter was 11 at the time. And we were like, okay, you know, I know I'm going to work for ESPN, but we want her to have the opportunity to, she loved volleyball. She was obsessed with volleyball. And so when we were trying to decide where we wanted to live, because I can work for ESPN from anywhere, it was like, okay, we want her to have opportunities. And we said, you know what? We want to stay in Mississippi because there are so many great athletes here, and they just don't have the access to, you know, as much coaching, you know, that have been out there and had the training and that kind of stuff. So we decided to start Infinity in the Jackson area so that we could just grow a club in Central Mississippi. And so that's what we did. And it was really cool to see that club grow and develop. And, you know, a lot of it was about our daughter, Allie, just, you know, having a place too. But, you know, then really an opportunity for so many other young athletes to have a place to train. And we really focused on training other coaches as well. We knew it couldn't just be me and my husband, Brian, doing that. It takes so many more people to train hundreds and hundreds of athletes. And so that, you know, that was just kind of the goal. And my daughter committed. She's going to play at USC out in California.
Wow.
And she committed in this past December. And then when I talked to Jeremy McLean after that, it was kind of, I didn't realize it at the time, actually. But that was kind of a shift for me of like, okay, that's done. And it was, you know, we were ready. And I say we because, you know, it's a family decision because it affects all of us. And, you know, I didn't realize how much it was like, okay, you know, we were kind of, hey, this is, we're doing all of this. And it was a part of being, you know, in our daughter's volleyball growth and so many other people's daughters' volleyball growth. And once she committed, you know, we just didn't feel like we were taking away from her future. And then, because obviously I'm here in Hattiesburg more than I am in Madison. And, you know, it would have taken away from her. And so, you know, it was just God's timing. It was the right time. And so it's been cool to see how it all works out. It was like, okay, now it's time to go here. And even, you know, she's in her senior year this semester. She's going a semester early. She's going to USC in January. And so, like, it's been so cool to see, like, I'm coming back here and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'll miss a few things her senior year. Not everything. I'll miss a few things, but it's like I'm going to take care of other moms' babies. And I have coaches taking care of my kid out in California. And that means the world to me because I can't be there. Even if I were working for ESPN, I'd be working in Mississippi. You know, if we're working from home or working on campus, wherever they send us, like, I won't be in California. And so as a mom, that means the world to me. So, you know, that's how I knew it was time for me to get back in this and be there for athletes that want to be great competitors because my daughter's so freaking competitive. It's not even funny. And be there for these athletes that want to do great things in volleyball, but you know, they need people that are there to support them and to accomplish their big dreams.
And just to allude to that, could you just talk about your daughter? She's, you know, from the Mississippi area going to USC. That's just huge in itself. Could you just talk about just the overall growth of even just your program and just the overall growth of volleyball in the state of Mississippi that goes unnoticed sometimes?
The coolest thing, well, Southern Miss Volleyball is going to make huge waves this year, mm-hmm. and I can't wait. You know, I know that it's right now just the people within our program that know that, and that's okay, because when I got here, a ton of talent on the roster, and it just, you know, it took all of us figuring out, let's get on the same page and what we want to be about and how we're going to do this, and it's really been a group effort, and we've done that. And where we are today, we look great. And we're really excited. And we have all the tools, all the pieces to have a phenomenal season. So that's exciting. And yeah, I mean, from a recruiting volleyball players in Mississippi standpoint, it's so much further ahead than it's ever been. And we can finally do that. And you know, there are other players like my daughter that we can recruit. And that's exciting because it hasn't been that way. And that's going to make all the difference in the world for all of the college programs in the state of Mississippi. And that's I think, why a lot of schools in our state have been behind in the past. And it's going to make a huge difference for all of us, not just Southern Miss, but all of the universities at every level in our state make big strides. Is that, you know, our youth, our club programs in Mississippi have grown really fast, and it's going to be awesome.
And you've already made some additions to this season's squad. Could you talk about what those six players are bringing to this year's unit?
Yeah, so, you know, we have players like Niner. She had been on the roster and then off the roster for a season. Having her back, you know, for her, this is the last year she has eligibility. She's been awesome. I mean, she's, you know, it just brings experience, calmness. She's so mature. And my goodness, when she blocks her heads over the net, I mean, what more could you ask for? So having her is phenomenal. We brought in another player in Maddie Bowles that's a graduate transfer from Central Arkansas. She's another player that plays with such experience, and you can just tell, again, the level of calmness she brings on the court, whether she's having a great day, which she does a lot, or, I mean, at times when she feels like she has an off day, and I'm like, oh, I didn't notice particularly it was an incredibly off day, but if she feels like she does, then it's like, well, okay, but, you know, she still was able to keep it pretty calm. She didn't pull away from everybody else, and that's a maturity thing. And so having that is pretty remarkable. And then we do have also brought in another transfer, and Megan Harris. She transferred in from SEMO, and she's a player from Mississippi. And she, I remember my daughter played against her in the state championship a few years ago, and they lost to them 16-14 in the fifth set. And then Megan's team went on to win the state championship, and it was a dogfight. And gosh, I just remember Megan digging every single ball that Allie's team hit, including Allie, because she set and hit. Allie's a setter, which is what I was, but Allie set and hit in sets and hits in high school. And so when her high school coach called me, it was like, you know, Megan's actually in the transfer portal and she didn't transfer. And I'm like, yeah, I know who Megan is. She dug every ball we hit. She's that good. She just, and then when you get to know her, not just, I mean, we knew her as a volleyball player, crazy good, but know her as a person, and she's an amazing human being. So, you know, that's, that part is a heck of a lot of fun too. And then, you know, Ella Voorhees is a player that we brought in from, she's from West Virginia. And she's a player, she's a DS, but she also set some before, like in her youth career. And so the fact that she can do both is huge for us. Like, so she's setting right now, and, you know, in our practices, she'll pass and play defense some too in some of our drills, but she's our other setter. And oh my gosh, she's stepped up big time. I mean, our six is incredibly competitive. And just for a true freshman to come in and do some of the things she's doing. And look, her counterpart is Kinsey Smith, who's unbelievable. And you know, the fact that Ella's doing that, it's unbelievable. And you know, as a DS, I mean, she's one of the strongest ones in our gym. And she's playing really her secondary position right now. So that's super exciting to see what she'll do in her future with us. And then Kaylin Demps, she's the one player that signed early last November. And my goodness, Southern Miss fans, like, keep your eye on this one, because her future is through the freaking roof. Like, when I tell you, like, I think the sky's the limit for this athlete. Like, she's really, 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 really good right now, and who knows where she'll be. I mean, she's so good. She's a great athlete. She's a great human. She's a great, literally, like, I don't know. I'm like, does this kid have, like, any faults? Because right now, I don't think there's any. She's awesome.
Is she a freshman?
She is. Okay. True freshman. Like, she's amazing. And so, and then the sixth player, Leighton Willoughby, she actually, she was a transfer in and had back issues before she came in and ended up having to medically retire. So she's not going to be able to keep playing. But she had a great spring, and we hate to lose her, but And she's because she brought so much to our team, not just in the way of volleyball, but in, you know, just from a personality standpoint, humor. We love her so much. We're going to miss her a ton. But, you know, of course, you know, we tell our athletes all the time, your long-term, you know, life is way more important than any sport. So we definitely understand for her, like, take care of your body. But, yeah, we're just so excited, though, about what all of our new people are bringing to our program, because it fits exactly everything we needed. And it, you know, just how everybody fit in, builds what we needed, and pushes everything we need.
Coach, now, just to allude to some of the girls that have already been in the program, just to start last season, we had the opportunity, me and Charlie, to interview her last season, Emilia Wesley. She's just a truly special talent in herself. And she actually not led the nation, but she was in the top 10 at one point in kills. Could you just talk about what Mia brings to this program and just, you know, what's been the biggest development for her in the offseason? Because she's truly special.
Yeah, she's one of the most competitive people I've coached. I mean, seriously, crazy and competitive. But she's also one of those people that's very coachable. So it's not one of those, like, I'm a great player and I'm doing all these things, you know, as, you know, maybe the best hitter in the gym or whatever from this past season. But then when we're trying to coach her and teach her to develop the shot or do this or do different things, she literally is wanting to learn that and get better at that. So there's never a time that you feel like she's settled for where she's at, ever. She's a player that was one of the top jumpers in our gym. Mm-hmm. So her niner, they both were like touching really high. And then she gained 3 inches on her vertical in the spring.
Wow.
That's remarkable. So she and niner both, again, they touched the highest in our gym. And it's like that. Who, when you're jumping really well and then you gain 3 inches on your vertical, it's just that laser focus that you're like, wow.
All right, Coach, we will hand it over to Dima before we head out of here. Go ahead, Dima.
I was just asking, like, how do you coach that? How do you gain 3 inches in your vertical over? I mean, that's crazy.
I will say we got a new strength coach, and nothing against previous staff. I really like what he does. I think he does a great job of mixing what we do in volleyball. So the strength part and the agility part and the jumping part, he doesn't go heavy, heavy weights or heavy, heavy, like, jumping and agility. He mixes it well. Mm. And he's the first strength coach I've ever had that I'm like, okay, you understand volleyball.
Yeah. Also, what is one question, like one thing for fans, like what's the one thing they can look forward to for this season?
Gosh,
what do you have to say?
Honestly, we're incredibly deep. I know that it sounds really cliche and silly to say, I don't know what our starting lineup would be right now. Mm. I mean, obviously, we've got some players that are really freaking good, but we have other players that can come in at any moment. And so what we're kind of preparing our team for is, like, you know, whatever our lineup's going to be in our first weekend, whatever it settles out, and we'll use that based on stats and practice and that kind of stuff. You know, we're going to have other people coming off the bench so that we're comfortable with that, so that when we get to important matches, if somebody's having an off match, we're all comfortable with someone coming off the bench because we're too talented in our, you know, like basketball is a sport where we're used to people coming in and off the bench. Like, that's normal. Volleyball, it's not always normal, and we want it to be normal and comfortable with us. So if someone's having an off match, someone comes off the bench and that's normal and we're okay with it and they have a great match and this person doesn't feel threatened by their spot and it just is what it is and we all have each other's back. So I just think the depth and how strong we are. I mean, if you came in our practice, you'd be like, I don't know which one of those outsides on either side is starting. You wouldn't know if you came in our gym because it's really that strong on both sides.
Now, Coach, before we get out of here, you play LSU this Wednesday coming up. Could you just tell me, like, what's to be excited for just to close out and just what the fans should look for just to go off what you asked to?
And I kind of want to know it. Are you kind of feeling like it's a first day of school kind of thing, getting back into collegiate coaching?
I mean, every time you play somebody that's not you scrimmaging yourselves, you know, it's so exciting because you think you know what lineup's going to maybe or get close, right? but you don't, you know, and you're like, maybe this, maybe that. And you put a group out there and then you try different things. And then you're like, well, I don't know, because then these people are doing great things. And we really don't know. When I say we don't know what group of 6, 7, 8 that we put out there is going to be our strongest against somebody else, we really don't know, because we have that many people stepping up and doing great things. So, you know, I'm so excited to see how we do in with different lineups out there, because that's the point of exhibition matches, right? Like, let's see. That's why I'm like, thank goodness, because before I went to work for ESPN, we did not have exhibition matches. And I remember being like, why do all these other sports have exhibition matches and all this stuff? And like, we don't have that. And they get to try things and we don't get to do that. So we don't get to know what does and doesn't work. And so I'm really excited to get to actually coach in an exhibition match and try lineups and be like, yeah, okay, that didn't work. I just wasn't sure, you know? And because against your own team, like your teammates know each other enough that it's like, you can't really tell. So I'm super excited for that. And just to, you know, really go up against, you know, a high level program. I mean, it's first year head coach, and, you know, they're going through a lot of similar things than we are too. And she's one of my good friends too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's not open to the public. So it's going to like not be maybe as pressure filled for our athletes, but at the same time, still feel like enough pressure that it's like a good mix of the two. And like, I'm trying to help our athletes feel like, hey, you know, yeah, the pressure's there, but you need to, like, it doesn't matter. We're trying to just like let all the outside distractions not affect us at all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that has been Coach Jenny Hayes-Wood, head coach of the volleyball team here at Southern Miss. The team, like she said, will be traveling to Baton Rouge this upcoming Wednesday before they start the season, August the 26th at the Crimson Tide Invitational. But before anything, make sure on September the 9th through the 10th that you get to the Southern Miss Invitational, guys. Volleyball is my favorite sport, by the way. Shout out to you, Coach Hayes-Wood. All right, and we'll be back after the break with more, and we'll give some flowers. Play the jams, Carter.
Charlie, Smooth Ost, Nathan and Dima, Be Thy Name, and 4th Street, Be The Gang.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Welcome back to the flower section, guys. But before we jump into the flower section to give off our fancy imaginary roses and whatever you call them.
Some soon flowers. To be real soon roses. Hint. Oh, wait. Did I get too much away?
Too much information. We'll get into that later. You're spoiling the beans, Charlie. But before we get into that, guys, let's just talk a little bit of fall camp. Yep. We know that the first scrimmage of fall camp is happening tomorrow at The Rock. I had to just, you know, put the emphasis on that.
The Rock.
The Rock. Ooh. I like that. Okay, you sound like Eddie Guerrero or something. But, man, Dima, take it away, man. Fall camp, just give an update on it right fast, man.
Yeah, so we were out there Friday. Jackson, you were there Saturday. And then I was, obviously, we were all out there this morning.
Yes.
Looking good. We're seeing a lot more rotation on the first, second, third string. When they did that 11-on-11, they like to get everybody in the first string, then they do everybody in the second string, then they do everybody in the third string. A little bit of struggling for the quarterbacks on Friday. They had a better day on Saturday. And then today, I wasn't able to watch a lot of the quarterback play. We were kind of on the offensive line side. Yes. The offensive line was running these drills where they were full-on hitting each other, full-on going against each other, and they were looking really tough. They didn't have full pads on yet. They'll definitely have them on tomorrow. Tomorrow is their big scrimmage. I guess it's kind of like a pre-competition Tuesday, if you will.
Forgot about competition
Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's gonna be good. Charlie and I will be out there. Charlie taking amazing photos as always, and I'll have a write up on the site after the scrimmage tomorrow. But it's gonna be good. It'll be a lot of good coverage coming to you tomorrow. Maybe a little bit more than the past couple of days, just because tomorrow we'll actually be able to watch football, we'll be able to watch plays. We'll actually have some stats and stuff like that.
So, yeah, that's exciting.
It'll be a great day. But without further ado, let's take it away. Give away these flowers. Go ahead, Charlie.
I'm going to start with soccer. Obviously, we were talking a little bit about Ilana Izquierdo last week playing for the U-20 team, the Colombia national team in the World Cup. And Costa Rica, they beat Germany 1-0 to start off, which Germany is the team to beat. You know, they were three-time world champs there. So they then drew against they had a draw against Mexico, but they're still leading their group. So 4-3, I believe. So the top two teams advance to the next group in the World Cup. So Colombia has a very good chance. We were talking to Coach JP, just talking about Germany is kind of, you know, the team to beat. That was the best way to start the World Cup for Ilana. And she got the assist. And it was, I think, in the 87th minute to that goal to beat Germany 1-0. So we'll be watching Colombia. They will play against New Zealand, their last game in group play, who has lost and tied. It's two matches. That match is tomorrow at 6 p.m.
Wow. Yes. How about that?
Yeah. That's
crazy.
It really is big.
Remember last week we were talking about Germany. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Man,
yeah,
that
sucks. I didn't think there was any chance. Yeah.
Big shot.
That was huge for her to get that assist.
Yeah, and then she gets the assist on the goal, yeah.
She's definitely a generational talent to be able to do something like that against Germany of all people. But go ahead, Jackson.
Time to give out some more flowers. Just want to wish a congratulations to Nui Engineer, the new head coach of the women's tennis team here at Southern Miss. And if that name sounds familiar, she is the husband of Zubin Engineer, who is the men's tennis coach. So a little bit of a power couple.
The wife. Zubin. Not technically, No.
You get the picture. They're married.
Yeah.
Husband and
maybe
wife.
She is the husband of the relationship.
I actually saw them, not stalkers, but I was in the Canes drive through. You know, it's right next to the tennis.
Yes, it is.
And they were both hitting the courts together.
Wow.
So they're really dedicated to their craft. So congratulations. That's a power. That's got to be the power couple at Southern Miss, honestly.
Absolutely. She served as assistant coach from 2017, and now she has finally taken the head job. So congrats to her.
Promotion.
Definitely. And you got another thing to announce, too. We have a special eagle on the going up to the big leagues, don't we, Jackson?
Yeah, just want to get some more flowers to Chucky Robinson. He became the 21st Southern Miss baseball player to make it to the big show. The former catcher was called up by the Cincinnati Reds last Thursday.
Yes. You know, Reds played in the
Field of Dreams
game.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I don't know if he actually was on the roster then, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go there. I don't know about you guys, but I want to go to the Field of Dreams.
Absolutely.
It's a great movie.
It's truly special. So just congratulations to those Golden Eagles, Ilana. Oh, Charlie has another announcement. Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, yeah. This obviously the flowers, but we did want to pay our respect to the Hop family. There was two Golden Eagle losses this past week, so really tough week for Southern Miss, you know. But we're trying to look at it, you know, in remembrance of all the things they did for Southern Miss. Victoria Hop, former track team member, just a couple years ago, passed away at a young age to
at
cancer.
The age of 25,
so yeah, age of 25. Exactly. So we're praying and thinking for her family and sending our thoughts to y'all at this time.
Of course. And I'd just like to take a slight moment of silence for her and Coach Palmer, of course. And guys, we're back. Just, you know, it's been a tough week. Of course, we like you said, Charlie, two Golden Eagles, and my apologies for almost forgetting that. I just wanted to say that. My apologies for that. That could not be skipped right there. But, yeah, it's been a tough week, guys, for Southern Miss Athletics, but they've truly, Coach Palmer and Victoria, they've truly put their mark on Southern Miss. I almost said the wrong word there. They truly put their mark on Southern Miss. And they will truly be missed by their friends and family. And, yeah, and also just to add to it, Coach Palmer was, like I said, in a wrap. He was put to rest today, too. Mm-hmm. So sad time for those guys, and shout out to their friends and family. But I hate to close on a sad note, so we're going for a streak. I know.
On a good note, football is 19 days away.
It is, yeah. Thank you for saving my life. Yeah, I didn't want to close on a sad note. But, yes, football is more than, it's just less than 19 days away.
Less than 3 weeks. 3 weeks, think of it like that.
Yes,
3 weeks. September 3rd.
So, any closing remarks before we get out of here, guys?
I would just say we're also available Spotify and Apple Podcasts, so make sure to catch us there, and then catch us next Monday at 5 p.m., same place.
Same
be there,
time.
Be square.
And there could be some additional podcast dropping if you actually if you're going to follow those podcasts. Yes.
Dun, dun, dun,
so that's another little.
Stay tuned. We got so much planned for y'all.
You may not hear it on the radio, but if you follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you may see some additional little droppings there.
Yes.
Sounds kind of funny.
Yeah. All right.
I think we got to go. It sounded pretty nasty.
It's past six.
All right, man. That has been the 4th Street Sports Show with Smooth Oss, your host, Charlie, Dima, and the guy Jackson.
And then, yeah, Nathan, too.
4th Street. And shout out to the quarterback there.
Carter, baby.
Carter, baby. So, guys, you know how we end the show. Give me a drum roll. All right, see you guys next Monday at 5, 4th Street.
3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.